Our help, our expectation is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth, who keeps truth, lives forever, and never forsakes the work of his hands. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, who is yesterday, today, and forever the same, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us sing from Psalter number 248, all the stanzas of number 248, The man who once has found abode within the secret place of God shall with Almighty God abide and in his shadow safely hide. 248.
Thank you.
Turn with me in your Bible, if you would, to Psalm 91. Psalm 91. Last night we listened to what Moses had to teach us from Psalm 90. This morning I want to listen to Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Again, I want to look with you at this entire psalm, but if I can reread one verse, it would be verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And as we begin this new year, I want to extend to all of you on behalf of my wife and family and wish you the Lord's blessing for this new year. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. That's what we wish for each of you, and to know his, as Psalm 91 sets forth, his overshadowing protection. after the sermon, let us sing from Psalter number 163, all the stanzas of number 163 after the sermon. Dear congregation, how easy it is to be scared and anxious in our world. We can be anxious financially. How will we be able to make it, especially in an economically unstable world? Or we can be anxious politically in the political unrest in various countries like China and Russia trying to assert some dominance. And we can struggle too with broken relationships and pain and trouble. And what we want to hear in times when we can be anxious and scared is, it's going to be okay. You're safe here. You're secure now. Yeah, that's got to be one of the most reassuring things to hear. I mean, imagine someone who has been in a war-torn country, maybe a citizen in places where battles have raged, or a soldier who's been on the battlefield, but they've been brought to a place of safety. They may be struggling as they think back to some of the things that they've experienced. They may have nightmares, but their loved ones can say, you're safe now. Or a child who's been mistreated and abused is brought to a safe home. The child can be reassured, it's going to be okay. You're safe now. In congregation, we all need safety and protection, especially the safety and protection that comes from being under God's protection, safely guarded there under the shadow of the Almighty. And that's why you can write over the sermon, under the shadow of the Almighty. And we'll see three things. First of all, fearful dangers. Secondly, a sheltering God. And thirdly, a refuge-taking faith. Under the shadow of the Almighty, we'll see first of all fearful dangers. Secondly, a sheltering God. And thirdly, a refuge-taking faith. When we come to Psalm 91 this morning, dear congregation, we come to a special psalm that has been loved by the people of God throughout the ages. It's been a psalm with strength-giving power and comfort for the people of God, even while under trials and in danger. A Christian doctor in Russia said years ago that this psalm was the best preservative in times of the cholera epidemic. Charles Spurgeon said it was the best medicine. This psalm was the best medicine against any plague or pestilence, and he who lives in its spirit will be fearless even if London should become a lazar house. That is, if London is full of contagious and infectious diseases. After all, it speaks of safety under God's protection. Who the author of this psalm is, we don't know. Some say it's Moses, and that he wrote this psalm when he reflected on the destroying angel passing through Egypt, and how many dangers the people of Israel faced as they journeyed through the wilderness to the promised land. It could be. We just don't know. What we need to know is the safety and the security that the Lord gives and is described in this psalm. For there are many fearful dangers. The psalmist knows of such things. He mentions several dangers in the first half of the psalm, at least six dangers. If you have your Bible open and you want to follow along, you can see them. I'll point them out to you. He mentions in verse 3a, the snare of the fowler. The picture is of a trap, a bird trap, a trap with netting, and the netting has trapped a bird so that it's caught. He mentions, secondly, the noisome pestilence, verse 3b, or the deadly pestilence, a destructive pestilence, an epidemic that spreads, and that would be a fearful thing to feel those first signs of having contracted a plague like the Black Plague in the 14th century. And thirdly, there are the terrors by night, verse 5a. In the night, sometimes you can be startled. What was that? Did you hear it? And you're afraid, and your heart skips a beat, and you think there's wild animal, robber at 2 o'clock in the morning. And then fourthly, verse 5b, the arrow that flieth by day. And in the Old Testament, the Hebrew soldiers on the battlefield knew such dangers. Arrows flew noiselessly through the air and could mortally wound you in an instant, like King Ahab was mortally wounded by some random arrow. And a fifth fearful danger that's mentioned in verse 6a is the pestilence that walketh in darkness. Here are two fearful things in one: a deadly plague or a disease that stalks in the night, stalks in the dark, that prowls in the dark. What fear and terror that can produce. Anxiety can fill you because you might be the next victim to show the symptoms of that deadly disease. Or a sixth fearful danger mentioned also in verse 6b, destruction that wasteth at noonday. There can be devastation that erupts in the middle of the day. Think of the devastation that came at 9/11. There's death and destruction. Smoke and flames all around. Thousands died. And we have fears when we face danger. And the people of Israel, I mentioned them already, they knew of such dangers. Remember the dangers as they lived in Israel, the enmity that they faced, the plagues that came close to them. Or think of Israel when they left Egypt and then came to the Red Sea and saw the Egyptian army behind them and they're fearful. Or think of David, the anointed of the Lord, who met with danger too. King Saul hated him, that he aimed his spear at him and threw it at him. How many dangers did David not face before he became a king, after he became king? Dangers that came from enemy nations, dangers that came from his own rebellious son, dangers that came from his own heart. And what dangers will we face this year? Psalm 91 is a psalm that faces up to those dangers. It places the believer not in a make-believe world in which there are no troubles and there are no trials. No, it places the believer in the real world with real dangers and real trials. What dangers will we face this year? What can fill you with anxiety at the beginning of this year? What if your worst fear would come true this year? What if what you dread actually happens? A house fire. A school shooting. A freak accident, like your 3-year-old hunches down on the driveway under the family car to pat a furry kitten, and her father doesn't see her and he starts the engine and backs over her. What if someone I love suffers from mental illness? What if I begin to suffer from dementia? What if I have to endure chronic pain, deep depression? I have to bear the pain of a disabled child? Or what if I'm betrayed by my spouse who becomes unfaithful and the devastation of a broken family? What if someone I love and who is still so young begins to suffer from a terrible disease? How many things are there not that can make us anxious and fearful during the day and during the night? We may encounter dangers and fears if we become sick, but also if we're healthy. We can be anxious when we're old, but also when we're young. Yeah, what if I'm diagnosed with a serious sickness? Cancer. What if I have heart disease? What if I have to be placed in an Alzheimer's ward? And I don't even know my spouse anymore. And besides that, don't we have enemies? People can sometimes be against us. We encounter unbelieving co-workers, unbelieving family members. Matthew 10, verse 36, Jesus speaks about that. But besides that, we also have spiritual enemies, for Satan is setting snares and traps, and he's eager to trip us up and make us fall. Satan sets snares and traps, and he shoots darts and arrows. How about this dart that says, your sins are too great, they can't be forgiven? Or how about this dart? Do you think you're a Christian? You can't be. Just look at the inconsistencies in your life. Verse 13, to mention a seventh fearful danger, says that we may meet with a lion, or a poisonous snake, or a dragon. And there is one who is a poisonous snake, who goes about as a roaring lion, who is like a cruel and frightful dragon. Satan seeks our ruin. And the world is against us, and our own evil heart can trip us up and make us fall. And there are not only physical diseases, there are also spiritual diseases. There is the disease of backsliding in the Christian life. And you neglect prayer. And you neglect your Bible. And you neglect the Lord. Or the disease of worldliness that begins to infect you more and more. Or the cares of this world that choke the seed of the word. Or the disease of pride and unbelief. There are fearful dangers within and without. There are dangers during the day and during the night. Have you ever felt these dangers? Have you ever seen some of these snares and traps? Have you ever felt the darts of Satan as he hurls them at you? Jesus says, in this world ye shall have tribulation. David in Psalm 34 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. And do these dangers not make you afraid sometimes? Anxious, fearful. Do you see why John Newton faces up to it and says, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come? Yeah, how can I go through them? What do I need? Is there somewhere where I can shelter and be protected? And that's our second point, the sheltering God. Yeah, where can I find safety and where can I find protection? And of course, many different answers are given in our world. I mean, who wants to get a serious disease? And so people go on a health food diet and make sure they take their vitamins and build up their antibodies. And now that isn't wrong. But even if we're healthy and build up our physical strength, it doesn't take much for the Lord to make us feel our weakness and frailty. I mean, even if we become as strong as Goliath, we must all fall down and die. And of course, others look for safety and protection in money, or in technology, or in security systems. Cain, after he murdered his brother Abel, God said he would be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and he realized that he's in danger and he's afraid, and what does he do? Cain builds a city. Now, it's not wrong to build homes and cities, and it's not wrong to have security systems, but we will not find our safety and security in them. I mean, what if you have a security system, but someone breaks into your house anyways, and the motion sensors go off? Would you not be scared? Would you not be frightened? And we can't place our trust in these things, and we can't place our trust in governments, no matter what stripes they have. And we can't place our trust in security forces, and I'm not saying we don't need police and we don't need military forces, but we can't place our trust in them. We can't find safety and security in the creature. We must find it in the Creator. We won't find true safety and security in people. We must find it in God. We won't find safety and protection in sinners. We need to find it in the Savior. The Lord gives this protection. The Lord is this shelter. This shelter is He. And this shelter is secure. And this shelter can't collapse. I mean, look at the opening few verses and the names that are used for God. In verse 1, He's the Most High. Elyon is the Hebrew. The idea is that there is none greater than Him. Remember, it's what the angels sang in the fields of Bethlehem Ephratah. Glory to God in the highest. He is God Most High. There is none greater than Him. And He is the Almighty. El Shaddai, a name that points to His power. As He revealed Himself to Abraham in Genesis 15, I am the Almighty God, Abraham. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And He is the Lord, verse 2, capital letters, Yahweh, the I am that I am, the faithful one. Will He shelter you one day, but not the next? And verse 2 also mentions another name, my God, Elohim, in the Hebrew. It's the name that's used in Genesis 1, of the Creator who made all things. Friends, you see that this shelter in God cannot fail. It cannot collapse, because this shelter is in God. Through Jesus Christ. Yes, He gives His Son to be the shelter of His people. It's what Isaiah 32 verse 2 says, and a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest. Jesus is the rock of ages cleft for sinners. Let me hide myself in Thee. And He's the one who protects. He's the one who shelters. And how does He protect needy sinners like you and me? Well, let me say three things. For one thing, He protects me securely. He protects me securely. Verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The psalmist here is speaking of a place of shelter. A place where the enemy cannot find you. Where they can't come and hurt you. Verse 2, He's described as a refuge and a fortress. The picture is of a stronghold, a place of safety and shelter where the enemy cannot come. Maybe today we would think of an underground bomb shelter or a bunker where you could go to be safe when bombs explode around the city. That's how the believer is safe in Jesus. Because there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, Romans 8 verse 1 says. Oh, I might be suffering from dementia. You may endure chronic pain. You may struggle with a disease, but I'm safe in Jesus. In Him I have eternal life. Even if they kill the body, they can't kill the soul. Matthew 10:28. He shelters me securely. Even His shadow, the psalmist says, covers me and protects me and shelters me, as the people of Israel in their wilderness wanderings were covered by the shadow of the pillar of cloud. It secured them. He protected them securely. He will keep me from harm and danger if I'm in Him. That, first of all, He protects securely. Secondly, He protects tenderly. He protects me not only securely, but He protects me tenderly. Sometimes we get the idea of protection and safety, that's something cold, like a fortress. And maybe you've been to a fortress or a castle. It's strong. It's got thick walls. Or maybe you've been in a bomb shelter or seen pictures of them. We might think of it as a safe place, but not necessarily a warm place. We don't think of it necessarily as a place of love and compassion. Tenderness would not be the first thing that comes to our mind, but with the Lord it's different. He shows great tenderness to protect and secure His people. Look at verse 4. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. That's a tender picture. The psalmist takes us to the farmyard to show us a hen with its little chicks. And when those little chicks need shelter, maybe a bird of prey is circling overhead and is getting ready to dive down and snatch one of those little chicks and devour it. And so the mother hen makes warning sounds, but at the same time she spreads her wings out and brings her little chicks to safety and shelters them under her. And so the chicks are gathered under the wings of mother hen, and they're safe there. There's tenderness here. There's love here. There's care here. The Lord wants His people to know His love in protecting them, His tenderness in sheltering them. It's not cold and cruel. It's warm and tender. It's gentle. I mean, what could be, boys and girls, what could be more gentle than a bird's feather? And have you not found that, dear people of God, that the Lord is so tender in protecting you? That He not only hides me, He loves me. He not only protects me securely, but He protects me tenderly. His heart beats in love for me. And when I am broken, and when I feel so exposed, and I feel so vulnerable, He brings His wing over me, and that's enough to keep me and guard me. And now you might not think that a few feathers will protect that well, but when they're God's feathers, they do protect. He will ensure that you're out of harm's way and that you will know His love and tenderness. Let me say one more thing about how He protects me. He protects me not only securely, He protects me not only tenderly, but He protects me faithfully. He protects me faithfully, for He doesn't just protect His people for a time, just for certain situations only. No, He protects them continually and faithfully. He doesn't let His people go. Verse 4 says, His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. And that word truth in the Hebrew is a rich word that speaks of something that's certain and dependable and reliable. It's a word that points to the faithfulness of God. And great is thy faithfulness. That's the idea. So Psalter 2:48 puts it, His faithfulness shall ever be a sure protection unto thee. Isn't that the reason why His people are safe? Why His people are secure? He shields them and protects them in spite of all their failings and in spite of all their sins. I mean, how will God's people make it to heaven at last? They wander so often like the people of Israel. They're not in their right place always. How will they make it to heaven? Is it because they are so capable in themselves and so strong in themselves? No. They're weak in themselves. Sometimes God's people don't know how to take the next step. They don't know how to go on sometimes. But the Lord will preserve them so that they arrive at last in heaven, safe and secure, because He is faithful. He who has begun a good work will complete it. He will preserve them. He will not forsake the work of His own hands. Jesus says it in John 10:28 about His sheep. I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Yes, yes, it's true. There are wolves, and there are lions, and there are fearful dangers, snares and arrows that fly by day, and dangers at night. But there are these hands that hold on and protect God's people. The hand of the Father and the hand of the Son. That's why no one shall be able to pluck them out of my hands. Yes, they fail. Yes, we fall. Moses did too. David did too. Peter did too. But Peter will say in his first letter, in verse 6 and verse 5, we are kept by the power of God. 1 Peter 1 verse 5. We are kept by the power of God. He protects tenderly. He protects faithfully. And if you ask, now, Pastor, where is that safe place? Where can I go when I discover the snare of the fowler? And I find darts are flying at me. And I feel the tempting power of Satan in my life. Where can I go when my accusing conscience torments me and shoots arrows at me and I am pained? Friends, the safety that you and I need is in Jesus. He's the ark of refuge. That's why the people of Israel were safe, because they sheltered behind the blood of the Lamb. Jesus can shelter me. Jesus gives me pardon and safety. Jesus gives me peace and salvation. But for that, He did have to go the way of suffering and dying. He had to go to the cross, and there was no protection for Him. He would have to say, all unprotected, lo, I stand. No friendly guardian at my hand. No place of flight or refuge near. And the Father forsook Him. And Jesus had no sheltering. Had no shelter and no covering. So that sinners like you and me can be protected by Him. As Fanny Crosby sings, safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on His gentle breast, there by His love o'ershaded, sweetly my soul shall rest, safe in the arms of Jesus. And there, no one and nothing shall be able to pluck me out of His hands, protected by Him. But what does this call for? Well, that's our third point, the refuge-taking faith. For how do I partake of this safety and shelter? How does this comfort become my comfort? Do I have to make myself acceptable to God first to receive this comfort? Am I to earn it somehow or merit it somehow by living in a certain way and praying better first and being more serious? Or will this comfort be mine just because I have believing parents, believing friends, and go to a faithful church? Oh, it's important to go to church, and it's a blessing to have believing parents and believing friends, but that by itself won't give me the comfort of His protecting care. That won't give me the security and safety that's in Jesus. How then? It's not through my connections with others, nor will I get these blessings and comforts through religion, but only through a relationship with Him by faith. The last words of verse 2. In Him will I trust. That's the answer. And trials in our lives are meant to turn us to Him and make us trust in Him. I don't know how it will go. I don't know what this year will bring, or what the Lord will bring in this year. But I'm trusting in Him. Are you? That's what David did in Psalm 56, in the trials that he faced, in the difficulties he encountered. Psalm 56, in God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. In God I have put my trust. So it's a call to trust in Him. To say it in the words of verse 4, faith and faith alone put me under God's wings. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. And if you wonder, what does trust look like? Then trust takes refuge. Trust takes shelter. That's the picture that's used in the Hebrew word in verse 4. In Him will I trust. It's really a refuge-taking faith that's spoken about. And that's why the Lord uncovers us to our sin and uncovers us to our danger because of our sin, and awakening us to our need. But He holds before us in the gospel Jesus, who can shelter us. And if you say, but how does He work this faith? Well, the psalmist says, He covers you and you trust. It's that simple, really. He stretches out His arms in the gospel. He spreads out His wings over you and you trust. You see, in the gospel, He doesn't stay at a distance. In the gospel, He comes close to you and me. He comes near to us. A mother hen, she cannot cover her chicks from a distance. No, a mother hen is right there. And all she has to do is spread her wings out over the young. That's how the Lord comes to us. He isn't far from every one of us. He's with us. And in the gospel, He spreads out His wings of safety. And He spreads out His feathers of protection. And He's ready to wrap them around sinners like you and me in your danger and in your need with your accusing conscience for the first time or again. And you can't hope to save yourself, and you can't hope to keep yourself. You need His safety. You need His protection. But He spreads His arms of mercy out wide. And you can't explain it. But you're melted by those arms, and you're melted by His love, and you cannot but trust in His sheltering mercy. Yes, He comes that close in the gospel, with His arms stretched out wide, willing to save, able to save. He says in Matthew 23, verse 37, how often would I not have gathered you as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings? But then He says, you would not. You didn't want to. She didn't want to trust. and take shelter under my wings. And how dreadful if you push Christ's arms away, his arms of mercy away. Oh, dreadful if you push the wings of the Lord away and the salvation that's in Jesus away. Friends, young people, how can you be safe in this world full of dangers on every side if you're not in Jesus? Because maybe you won't have an accident. And maybe you won't suffer from Alzheimer's right now. But Satan is there with his traps and his snares. But how can you be safe if you push Jesus away, his protecting wings away, his sheltering mercy away? My unconverted friend, let me ask this. Why would you perish when the Savior is so near? He can cover you with his wings of love. He can cover you with his wings of protection. He suffered for sinners like you and me to give safety. But then we have to stop ignoring our need. And we have to stop trying to save ourselves. And we have to start trusting in him to save us. And why not ask him? Lord, save me. Why not ask him, hide me, O my Savior, hide me. We need to be trusting in him by faith. And that will result in confessing him by faith. In confessing him by faith. Listen to him in verse 2. I will say of the Lord. He's going to make a confession. He's going to share his witness with others. This is his testimony. He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Yes. Hiding in Jesus by faith will bring a desire to confess him by faith. It's like a child who's afraid. Someone's been mean to him. Someone has bullied him. Someone's been unkind to him. And he seeks refuge in someone he trusts. His father, his mother. And father takes him on his lap. Father calms him and father reassures him and the boy who had been so afraid but now begins to whisper what his father had whispered to him. I'm safe now. It's okay now. I'm sheltered now. Something like that happens with the child of God. Taking refuge to the Lord, sheltering in his blood and in his wounds, he has no other confidence but the Lord Jesus. And he says, my refuge, my fortress, my God, he's mine. And in him I am to dwell. And that's the third thing you can say. We need to be trusting in him by faith. That will result in confessing him by faith. And thirdly, we need to be living near him by faith. We need to be living near him by faith. Verse 1. He that dwelleth in this sheltering place of the Most High shall abide there. You see, I don't just need to go there for a short while and leave again. I need to stay there. I need to live there. The psalmist is saying, I need to keep coming back there and remain there and commune there. And this year 2024 has just begun. Where are you living? Now, I don't mean what's your address and you give me a street address, but are you living near him? Are you dwelling with him? I mean, till the storms of life are past, I'm to keep coming back to Jesus and sheltering in Jesus and living in Jesus, and I'm to hide there and I'm to live there even as I go about my daily task, whether that be at school or at work or at home. And when am I going out and my coming in? Jesus keep me near the cross. I need to remain there. I need to keep coming back to Him there to know the comfort that He gives. Yeah, that's really what's mentioned in this psalm. Let me mention just three of the comforts that comes in a relationship with Jesus. First of all, there's the comfort of not being afraid, verse 5. The comfort of not being afraid, verse 5. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night. You don't need to be afraid of the dangers in the dark, and you don't need to be afraid of the dangers in the day. Young people, sheltering in Jesus means you don't need to be afraid. I'm not saying that believers are never afraid and that they're never anxious. They can be, but they don't need to be. And how often does He not say to them, "Fear not. You're safe in me. You're safe in the arms of Jesus." There's the comfort of not being afraid. There's the comfort of not getting hurt. There's the comfort of not getting hurt, verse 10. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. There shall no evil befall thee? What about that diagnosis that I have, or that diagnosis I may get? What if I begin to suffer from dementia or Alzheimer's? What if I have a child that's disabled? What if there is a school shooting? There are Christians who have faced these things. What if there is a broken family? What does the psalmist mean when he says there shall no evil befall these? Oh, it's true, friends, we meet with trials and afflictions as a result of sin. The consequence of sin includes suffering and affliction. We go through times of agony. But for the believer, these trials really can't hurt the believer. No, that doesn't mean that we should live carelessly and that we should live recklessly. I mean, that's what Satan would suggest to Jesus in the New Testament in Matthew chapter 4. When he tempted Jesus to jump off the temple, and then Satan would quote from Psalm 91, verse 11 and 12. He'll keep you. He'll charge his angels. There's nothing here that's saying you can live recklessly and carelessly. But as we trust in the Lord, whatever may happen can't really hurt the believer. Dementia cannot really hurt the believer. A freak accident cannot really hurt the believer. Difficult providences can't really hurt the believer. They may be difficult providences. They may be painful providences. They may cause agony in your soul. They may cause many tears. And you may struggle in those difficult providences. But these trials, whatever shape and size, however long or short, they can't really hurt the believer. For whatever happens cannot separate them from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The twin for Psalm 91 is Romans 8, the last few verses. Bad stuff happens, I know. I'm not saying that the bad stuff is good. But even bad stuff can't really hurt God's people, because the Lord knows how to make it work together for good. and for his glory. And that's a comfort that you need also in this year. The comfort of not being afraid, the comfort of not getting hurt, and thirdly, the comfort of not being alone. The comfort of not being alone. Oh, there's a lot more comforts. You'll have to glean it from this psalm, and I commend it to you and your study. In verses 14 to 16, we actually hear another voice. It's the voice of the Lord speaking in those verses, and there are all these promises. I will deliver him, I will set him on high, I will answer him. But he also says, and I will be with him in trouble. Let me highlight that promise. I will be with him in trouble. There's the comfort of his presence. You don't have to go through life alone. You may feel lonely at times. People may abandon you and turn their backs on you. Friends may not stay friends. Parents can even abandon us. David sings of that in Psalm 27. But the believer doesn't go through life alone. And isn't that the promise that we love to hear? The promise of the Lord's presence. It's the most sparkling jewel promise that I think is in the Bible. I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. Even if I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I will be with thee. All under the shadow of the Almighty. All under the shadow of Calvary. At the shadow of the cross, where Jesus bore the heat of God's wrath, under which we deserve to perish eternally, our Lord's Supper form put it. But he bore the heat. He took the arrows of God's justice. He did battle against the enemies of hell, so that sinners who hide in him may be safe for time and eternity and never be alone. Even when they're in that dementia ward and they don't remember the name of their spouse anymore, and when their body breaks down and they cross the River Jordan, they're safe and he's with them. And you see, no one has ever perished under the shadow of the cross of Jesus. In union and communion with Jesus, you're safe. He has protection to give. A faithful protection. A tender protection. A secure protection. And some of you need to hear that this morning. You're safe in Jesus. Hide me, O my Savior, hide me, till the storm of life is past. And on the first day of the year, as the Lord lets us hear of his protection and his consolation, it's an invitation to draw near to him. My Savior, neath thy sheltering wings, my soul delights to dwell. Still closer to thy side I press, for near thee all is well. Amen. Let us sing number 163. Doxology is number 202, stanza 3. Number 202, stanza 3. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion with the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.